Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He had it coming.
That's not my...
That's not Chicago.
That's Chicago.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do it. Maybe you
nope.
Could, yeah, come on.
Nope.
You sounded great just doing that.
Oh, stop it. I was making fun of it.
But it sounded great.
I am way too cynical for a musical.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. Got all these great emails from... what's our email address?
Dr. Drew After Dark at gmail.com.
That's right. And also the phone at 818-253-1693. And of course, great Christina P is here.
Hi.
With me. Videos, voice messages. We got a lot coming up. Let's go write some voice messages.
I love them.
And I'll tell you my gay story.
I can't wait for your gayness.
It's good. It's good. Voice
it's
message,
my
gentlemen.
Favorite.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Adam, a King Above 18 from Cleveland, Ohio, calling with a COVID-related question. Mm-hmm. So my mom is in her 50s and has pretty severe Crohn's disease, and she's opted out of receiving the COVID vaccine out of fear of complications due to her Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So she works at a hospital checking in people and residents. Or patients, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions to convince her that she is totally talked.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your thoughts, and I love and appreciate everything you and Christina P. do. Keep feathering it. Ta-ta there, baby rapers.
What'd he say?
Ta-ta there, baby rapers, and keep feathering it. That was a good combo.
Well done, Adam.
Yeah, chum.
It's a risk-reward analysis. You have to talk to her gastroenterologist, who I assume is giving her some sort of remittive agent for her Crohn's disease. That treatment may make the vaccine somewhat risky, but my God, the illness is very risky for people in her situation. I would think the risk war would come down in favor of taking the vaccine. I mean, maybe she wants to wait for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is a more traditional vaccine. She might feel better about that, but I think you're right. And maybe go in and talk to her gastroenterologist with her about the vaccine, because people are all over the place, and some oncologists with people on a lot of chemo and things are still recommending the vaccine. Some are not. I haven't seen any consistency in how doctors are really approaching this yet. So
You said the Johnson & Johnson one would be more traditional, just because it's a one doser.
It's a one doser. It's an attenuated adenovirus that's been adjusted to give
It's a cold virus.
It's been sort of nearly killed.
Okay.
It's nearly dead. You can reproduce, but that's about all it can do. And it can't really infect. And it can cause your body to produce the spike protein, which is what gives you the immune reaction that we need.
Now, last night I was talking to somebody and they were afraid to take the vaccine because of the other things in the vaccine. Are there
like
other...
what?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are concerned about, hey, what's in these vaccines?
Oh, my God.
What's in a vaccine? Tell people.
We can look it up and find out exactly what the solid is. But if there was anything in there that hurt people, we would know about it, for God's sakes. It's not like we're seeing armed people that are being taken down by, look, believe me, you're exposed to way more things every day that your body clears out of your system with all the stuff in our water and the stuff in our food sources. I mean, just so many things that the body has to clear out. We have no problem doing that.
Well, why are people afraid of vaccines? These anti-vaxxers, they were protesting at Dodger Stadium and preventing people from getting it.
I don't get it.
What, they're just afraid of...
Afraid of science, I guess. I don't understand biology or whatever.
I'm just curious to know what they're...
If somebody says it's an mRNA vaccine and we haven't had enough experience with it for a long enough period of time, okay. Well, then take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Okay.
Right. It's a more traditional live attenuated vaccine. Fine. We have millions of years of human years of experience with that one.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Come on, you dipshit. Tell him.
Well, it's not dipshit. It's just like, I am sympathetic to this idea that we don't want the government forcing people to do anything.
Yes.
I'm sympathetic to that.
Yes.
So that part I'm sympathetic with. But the inability to understand biology and not understand how medicine works, and that hasn't the pandemic taught you that we are biological agents and that we die? That's it. And there's always going to be infecting agents that come after us. There always has been. There always will be. We'll do our best to stay ahead of it. Right now, we're in a race to eradicate this one. Hopefully, our vaccines will stay ahead of it before it mutates into something that we need to come up with a new set of vaccines for. But that's how we fight off
these
illnesses. And as I told you the other day, I talked to a famous smallpox researcher who said this illness is a lot like smallpox in terms of how it affects the body.
You mentioned that.
And that's how serious it is. And that's what happens. You know, this thing can screw your body up.
Screw your body up. And yeah, it's not just
just killing you. It, I'm here to tell you, I've been sick for 8 weeks, you know. Yeah. So.
Shit, what was I going to ask?
Sorry.
Oh, what about people that have been vaccinated? They're saying that they should continue to wear masks and...
Yeah, I mean, this is all bizarre stuff. I mean, I'm having my immune profile tested. I was tested when I was sick, and I had antibodies against multiple viral proteins. So if the viral spike protein mutates, I'm still covered. All of my proteins, 100% of my antibodies were virus neutralizing, meaning they killed the virus instantly. We tested for that. So there's zero possibility the virus can get into me, and yet I have to wear a mask. The theory is, well, maybe you still produce a little virus, and maybe it gets out of your body again. Somebody gets infected. I've been antigen tested a million times and rapid tested a million times. I'm not producing virus. Yeah. I am neutralizing antibody teaming, and I was measured against vaccine recipients. Average vaccine recipients has spike antibody levels quantitatively of about 17,000. I was like 170,000.
Oh, wow.
I was 10 times what a vaccine recipient gets, 100% neutralizing. Now, I may not sustain it the way a vaccine does. That's the thing. And so I measured again this morning. I still have my I get my blood draw right here. And I'm going to see if I sustain that immunity. And at the point at which I don't, I'm going to take the vaccine immediately. But if I take it now, I could have a huge reaction.
Yeah,
I've got all that antibody flying around. Who knows how my body would react? I've seen lots of people who are recovered from COVID get the vaccine and have a reaction.
And then they get sick.
Yeah. And I can't tolerate that right now. I've been sick too long.
Yeah.
And in any event, this all needs to be kind of worked out. But I'm doing this thing called an Aditic score. I can get it. You go to AdaticScore.com. Yeah.
I'm dying.
It's not really commercially available yet. It's going to be in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
I'll figure out how to get it for you. But
I'm so curious to see because
you should see, and then we can decide about the vaccine.
I've heard that it's actually having had the COVID, obviously, is better than the vaccine. It is.
You're more protected. You're less likely to shed virus or to be infected or to be able to transmit to somebody else. Essentially, there's no other illness on earth that allows you to infect other people when you're as immune as I am right now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist in nature. So I'm assuming I'm pretty good. But I have to broadcast from home. I'm not allowed into the studio because people are paranoid and everyone's a primitive native now.
So let me ask you this.
And I wear a mask because people get upset if you don't wear a mask. So I don't want anybody to get upset. I'll wear a mask.
Same.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want to get the, if there's any possibility that I could get one of the variants, I don't want it.
That's
you know what
I was going to ask you though, because I've been telling people like, well, I've had it. So I feel like I'm going to go out into the world. And they're like, you could still get it. You could still get it.
Well, if you get maybe if we check your immunity and we'll see if you need the vaccine, maybe unlikely for at least 3 months afterwards.
At least
3 months, right? And these variants are very rare right now. But you know, I don't want to get sick again. That's for sure.
No,
so
that
okay.
Sucked.
The variants are mostly protected by the vaccine. We just don't know if the variants are protected by having had the COVID. We think it is because I have multiple viral proteins to which my antibodies are built. Not just the spike protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can still get rid of the virus. And this is Asian fetish, ready?
Oh.
For as long as I can remember, I've been attached to Asian women. I could be room filled with models with my eyes, find one Asian girl. She could be working at a fast food restaurant. I love the eyes. I love their shape. And the past few years has gotten to the point where I hear a story about someone having an Asian girlfriend. No matter how much I might like the podcast, I must turn it off. It makes me sad that I'm not with a girlfriend like that. I tend to lean towards Japanese women who struggle with English.
This is a very specific lane. They have to struggle with English.
And plus, you know what he was watching at 14.
Yeah.
I feel really bad that I might be fetishizing them. Okay.
Don't feel bad.
Is this bad? And do you think they're a fetish? This is a really interesting question, though, is when is it an attraction? When is it a fetish? It's hard, right? It's hard. I would say you're fetishizing them if you only have the Asian women troubling with English and you don't care about the person.
Yeah, right. That's
right?
Good.
You've got to be able to also see the person. If you can't get past that, maybe a little therapy might help you out. I'm just saying. But it's interesting, isn't it? This is that window again that men have. Like maybe Sickler and I were talking about this. Like if men see stuff age 12 to 14, that's it, man. They're locked.
Fetish. Well, he also seems to feel really bad about. So what's the harm in fetishizing?
Well, it's making somebody not a person and an object. It's making them an object and not a person. And you got to watch out for it. He's clearly tends that way, but you know, he can also overcome it. I mean, why is it different if you're just attracted to a certain shape or a certain facial feature or anything like that? You know, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What's your fetish? What do you
strangely
have?
The old country. like they're like Austrian steps of Hungary, that area. Just
that's your thing, the steps.
The steps. But like strangely.
Wow.
Strangely.
You're into, I mean, we're being serious now. Yeah. Buildings?
No, not buildings.
Oh, okay.
No, like Czech is like the sweet spot.
Okay.
So Susan turned out to be Czech.
Turns all your dials, man.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, but sort of Austrian up there, something that
whole
something,
region.
Something up
that's
there.
That's your wine. It's your DNA. It's where you're from.
I guess, right? Yeah. It's very weird.
And I have the opposite. I have a bit of a repulsion to my own tribal. That coldness I like. But I like Latin more.
Latin, spices.
Spice, warmer cultures.
Interesting.
Yeah, loving.
Mm. British too, though, strangely.
Love them. Yeah. That's icy cold. That's different.
Yeah.
Emotionally very distant.
Is there, I think there's a genetic heritage there?
I'm 100% Hungo, dude. I did my 23andMe.
Yeah.
100% from that region.
Yeah.
Like nothing, no variant.
Isn't that something? Susan was
wild.
70 or 80% Czech.
Yeah. Czech. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
100% boner from Dr. Drew.
100%. Thus, I can't control myself.
Thank God.
So, let's do another email. I know you say men stop at 2 orgasms, but I can go 5 or more rounds. Semen stops coming out, but round 3, I can still have an orgasm. I'm hypersexual, though. I started masturbating very young for sex age 12, so he's like sex addict. And that is what happens. When men have sex at too young an age, it like turns on the engine in a way that they can't control. It's kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Same with women, though, no? Don't you become hypersexual?
Yeah, it's a little different. It's a little different. It becomes a... Yes, they do.
Like
yes, they
stars,
can. Yes,
generally.
They can. Right, they can, but they're not... it has different quality to it. I don't know if I can characterize it. Let's put it this way. The guys, much like we were talking last show, the guys are more driven into it, and the women are too, but it has a lot more
different
interpersonal
outcomes.
Stuff with it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Different desired outcomes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Let's hear another voice message.
Hey, my name is Chris from Rantoul, Illinois. I've been trying to let you guys know about my man clit, and I'm not joking. I had a circumcision at an older age. I shouldn't have done it, but I was foolish. I did it for a girlfriend, and I got circumcised when I was already a grown man size in my pants. So the scarring was weird, and it's like a little clit on the underside of my dick, and I can come just from stimulating that instead of stroking or whatnot. So it feels great. It's a little weird of a thing, but some girls are interested to see it, believe it or not. So whatever, I just thought I'd let you guys know I do have a man clit, and I can come from just that. I'm not coming up in May because I've already been there all along.
So it's a scar that's highly innervated and irritated, probably. So he needs to send us a picture, gentlemen. If you can get him to send us the...
Send us a photo of that man clit. Yeah. I'm curious to see how that works. And that makes me sad that he had a botched circumcision as an adult.
I'm not sure it was botched.
Oh.
It's just that there's a little extra scar there that's innervated in some strange way.
Cool,
you know, because a botched one would be, you know, distortion. You know, the things are... pulling in one direction or another. Yeah.
It's got to be super painful, no? To have a circumcision as an adult?
Yes, it's painful.
Goodness
gracious.
About
2 weeks of unhappiness.
Yeah.
But if it's correcting a phimosis or something, you know, because you know that I've explained that to you, right? What phimosis is very common. Phimosis, please, gentlemen.
Ooh.
The foreskin starts constricting around the head of the penis, so the head of the penis can't come out. And if they do try to take it out, it either constricts the head of the penis, as where it's really painful, or it tears the foreskin, and then it constricts even more.
So how does that happen, phimosis?
Usually just scarring. It scars down, tear, scarring. So there it is. Cannot be pulled back. See, I'll go up a little bit the other way.
Poor dudes.
See? And so they just do a foreskin, and then there it is on the left. That's a good version of it. See, they just pull it, let it bring it out.
It's a good peener there. Mm-hmm. Looks good.
And it's really unpleasant if it.
See, that's a good looking peener. When you're like, hey, what's a good one? That's a good looking peener.
You like peeners that are just due south, straight, heading
that's
north.
That's a good looking dong. Yeah.
North to Alaska. Okay. It's
What was your Godspell tangent you were
all
in?
All right. So,
speaking of
North Alaska,
penises. And
so, in 1977, as I was fishing around trying to find my identity, I was a freshman in college and I got into a production of Godspell. And it was a highly competitive production. I mean, highly. And the guy who was directing it selected this group of people. And it was we all experienced it as lightning in a bottle, like very emotional and very intense. And like it was the talk of the town kind of thing. And even the composers heard about it and, you know, Stephen A. Schwartz. And it was this extraordinary thing. And then it just went away. We just all went about our business, about our lives and stuff. Some of us kind of stayed friends for a period of time and pretty much everyone just kind of faded out. We had a reunion over the weekend. Yes, all us Alta Cockers got together and had a reunion. And
was it electric?
Yes.
And did you guys sing together?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but there is a video of the production.
Stop your...
Yes, yes.
And where is it?
And there's also a video of us running around as college students. I should show this.
May I please? Are you going to show this on the show? Can we see this?
I don't feel comfortable showing on the show because it's other people, you know, they really consented to. I'll happily show you.
I have to see this.
But the production, they're going to have a viewing party where we all actually see each other in the play. And all these people went on to do had extraordinary lives. I mean, we were hearing their stories and I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
And we all came away with this deeply emotional experience from it, from getting together.
Did you guys all have an orgy when you were
then? No. As we were looking at videos, and one of the guys goes, God, look at what nerds we are. And the women were just beautiful. We didn't even notice. What's wrong with it? And one of the girls goes, it was not that kind of an arrangement. She's so right.
That's lovely. That's so nice. And that they all turned out to be interesting and cool.
Extraordinary. I'm hearing the stories. We're like, wow.
That's so good.
So something about what that guy did of putting this little group together captured an amazing production, but it captured amazing people. And now we're all having this weird emotional reaction where we're like, why didn't we stay in touch? And why don't we know each other? But it's a very weird experience.
Because it sounds like you guys are a particular group of unique nerds that you could have been lifelong nerd friends.
Men were nerds. The women were not so much nerds. I mean, they ended up, like, a lot of them performing on Broadway for years.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody, this was a strange thing for me. Everybody had a performing history, like a public performing of some type. And I thought, oh my God, I like public speaking and I like doing stuff like this. And
yes.
Even I'm doing this, some sort of performing thing, but a lot of them did it like for reals, and then wrote movies and wrote plays and wrote crazy stuff.
And you know what? I see another career path for you. I think it's
Godspell,
time for you.
Godspell?
Do you know how many people, if we do a YMH production of Dr. Drew and Godspell?
Not Godspell. Do something else.
What would you prefer?
I don't know. Let's talk it through.
Yeah. I'd love this.
Wouldn't you guys have to be in it?
Oh, fuck no.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I can't sing. I can't carry a note.
You could dance.
You can dance.
YMH production. RPC could be in it.
Can we write an original
musical? Get RPC in it?
Yeah, like a Robert Paul Champagne
musical. One of the guys in this group writes musicals. Maybe we can get him to...
I want to write one around you. Like, oh, man. Now you got it going. Dude, let's do it. You know what? We survived the Rona.
It sounds like a lot of work. But
it's so much work.
I don't understand what it would be.
We have to think about it. We have to marinate on this. What's your gayest musical fantasy? You've seen them all. What's your favorite element? Like, what are you into? Period pieces? Are you into hippies? Are you into Puerto Ricans with knives?
The gayest would be like Man of La Mancha.
Okay, what's that about?
It's about Don Quixote.
Don Quixote. And he is the man on the horse. Right. He's a lover, isn't Don?
He has a fantasy about this woman named Dulcinea.
Okay.
But he's fighting with windmills, remember?
I don't remember.
You didn't read Cervantes after all that
education? I did in college. It's 20 years ago. Right. My brain's full of
better. It's sort of a parody
of
a lost era of aristocratic behaviors. And this guy's like this old demented knight, essentially.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll make the Dr. Drew version. Oh my God.
You're so happy with yourself.
I would love to see this. You wouldn't do it?
But you know what? Here's the way we should do it. I'm sweating. Thank you.
A recital? Should we just do a recital?
No, we should do it in pieces like on TikTok. So, right? Right?
That would be the contemporary way.
Right.
But I want you to experience all your gayness. Like, I want you to be on audience. Stage.
Oh.
Like Lady Di.
Well, people have threatened to stunt cast me.
What? What's that mean?
You know, they have sort of celebrities cast in Broadway productions.
I would love that.
Somebody said they want to stunt cast me in Chicago as the attorney.
Oh my God, why don't you do that?
Maybe you should do that. And then we'll film that. And then that will be the YMH production.
No, that's even better. I would love to see you.
I'll spend 2 weeks in New York and do a stunt cast.
That would be amazing.
Okay, can you help me?
I would fly out to see you.
Can you help me?
Help you out.
Put
the word out.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way. We'll figure it out.
We'll put it out there. I would love to see you.
That'd be insane.
And I hate musicals, but I would be front
Give
and center.
Give them the old razzle dazzle.
There he goes, guys. Look how excited you are. You're giddy just thinking.
I'll just go all the way gay.
Give them the old. You just sing it like that, though. Razzle dazzle. You'd have to sing like that, right?
You probably.
He had it coming.
That's not my.
Isn't that Chicago?
That's Chicago.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do it. Maybe you
nope.
Could, yeah, come on.
Nope.
You sounded great just doing that.
Oh, stop it. I was making fun of it.
But it sounded great.
I am way too cynical for a musical.
It's a cynical musical.
I don't know.
It's about prison.
I don't know.
It's about murderers.
Really? I like murderers.
Yeah. You'd be a perfect.
No. This is all your jam. But I will come and support you, and we'll make it happen.
All right.
When Broadway comes back.
All right, and we'll do it, and we'll do pieces of rehearsals and stuff on TikTok.
Oh my God, the rehearsal.
Be the best.
Does Susan, when you sing, is she cringing or does she love it?
So I sing a lot of opera, right? And she would sort of cringe with that. She didn't really like that. now she sort of misses it because I've lost some of my power, and now she talks about it with great like pride. I'm like, it bothered you when I actually had that instrument.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Where is it? Do you sing in the shower?
Not really. I used to rehearse. I'm used to sing. I used to train.
It's wild.
And she had to listen to that. So
that's wild.
Now, as I told you, I found when I did The Masked Singer, I had all these vocal injuries and stuff.
Yes.
And it was crazy stuff.
You did great on that show. I watched you. We TiVo'd it.
That was fun.
We recorded it.
That
was
fun. Yeah, yeah.
You were the eagle.
Right, the eagle. All right, favorite parts of sex video. Let's go here. Here we go.
Okay.
We've been meandering.
I do a girl. I tuss her boobies. I lick them. Oh, yeah. I lick that boobies. That's my favorite part. Tussing them, too. I like hunt sex. Back. The back the butt. I like having sex. The back the butt. Hell yeah.
I like oh my God. I just figured out your musical. We what the fuck are we doing?
I like the butt.
No.
What is it?
Did it.
Okay, thank you. We got it.
What is it?
It's TikTok the musical.
Yeah.
And you're gonna cover all the great hits. We're gonna I don't know how to write a musical, but
I don't either. But we gotta have
it's TikTok the musical.
Appearances from all the great cool guys.
Yeah. The cool guys musical.
Uh-huh.
This is a great idea.
Cool guys the musical. Maybe that's better. And just TikTok is a feature of cool guys the musical. Because then it gives us a little more opportunity to bring in like the guy that likes giving oral sex to women. What's that guy's name?
Which one is it?
The guy that like, what was his name?
I'm gonna throw up. And the king above 18.
King would be an appearance.
And this guy, I mean, this guy's talked, right?
Oh my God.
He's on that lower spectrum of the IQ you're talking.
Yes, I was.
That was like a straight IQ issue though. No normal.
I,
issues or...
I think so. I'm afraid so.
Okay.
Head injury. Because that gets in there too. Because sometimes the reason I think of that is sometimes when people get these childhood head injuries, they get blown up and obese and stuff too later for whatever reason. I don't know why. So,
interesting.
Yeah. But that made your vagina wet, right?
Oh, I love it. I'm dripping over here with that guy. Panty dropper. TikTok, you don't stop.
Golf cart horrible or hilarious? So I'm assuming already it's Tom thinks it's hilarious.
God.
I'm gonna think it's horrible.
Oh, I think it's horrible already.
You've already seen it?
Of course.
Ugh. Uh-oh. Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
Well, that's hilarious. It didn't hurt anybody. So that's hilarious.
Not yet.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I feel like I've done some version of this in my life.
Me too.
Yeah. Look at him. He's like, huh.
Damn, what do we do with that? Uh-oh, he's going to try again?
That's pretty awesome, right?
Yes, I'm assuming. I'd have to see him get hurt, so I'm assuming he didn't get hurt.
No, he's fine.
That's funny.
His shop got fucked up. Those doors are going to cost a fortune.
That is hilarious.
Please play Point of Privilege.
Okay.
You got, as a rational revolutionary.
Problematic. It's problematic.
You are going to F and die. Just.
Mm. Oh, I've heard this one. Yes, I know. You didn't know about this? This is from a few years ago. Yeah, this is the kid with the ADD or whatever.
Just
watch it again.
If we want to defeat capitalism, we are going to need a party that will organize working people to fight for the demands that we want and to win socialism.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum?
God.
It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade.
Comrade. Oh my God. It makes you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I feel bad that I feel such aggression towards
them. But why do we feel it? Let's talk about it.
Because there's an aggression coming out of them. It's like, we have to defeat you, and you have to shut up, and you have to, you know, it's me, man, it's me. Like, if somebody were disturbing me, I would just sit quietly and try to focus. I mean, personally, you know what I mean? I wouldn't get up in the room and go, excuse me, it's me here, and this room needs to behave so I can hear. I understand he has some special qualities, and we want to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
He needs to be responsible for that, not the room, necessarily. So he needs to go somewhere. I would immediately go somewhere where I wasn't distracted.
Right, that's interesting, because it's an abdication of personal responsibility. And that's what bothers me as well. It definitely fosters a victim mentality.
This is even more than victim, because he's not a victim.
It's an entitled victim.
It's an entitlement. Like, hey, the room, there's 1,000 people in that room. The room is to pay attention to me.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's an absurd request.
You
just want to go, now we will never get anything done.
I don't
worry about that group, because they will never get anything done.
No, they're not going to comrade. They're not going to fucking do anything.
Because they're going to attack each other. Because everyone has
is
personal.
Is there a speaker against name point chapter pronouns?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Another one.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
She's like,
she's like, look what you've. I feel like telling her, hey bitch, look what you created, look what you've done.
I think that the problem with this level of inclusivity, which I think the intentions are wonderful, this level of everybody's particular thing needs to be addressed at all times, leads to an infinite number of things we all need to accommodate all the time, and nothing gets done. Exactly.
But no one is asked to deal with their own stuff.
No responsibility.
It's not even I don't think that's the right word. Because,
what is the word?
Because responsibility puts people off when you say that. I think the word is taking care of yourself and not requiring.
Self-care.
Yeah, just not requiring the entire universe to take care of you or to accommodate your language, your sensibilities.
They're toddlers.
Whatever.
This is how toddlers behave.
I don't know if anybody accommodates my needs ever.
Of course not.
I can't think of anything.
Not. But I can't think
of anybody in my life that I could say, pay attention to me. You know what I mean? Maybe you kind of do. Maybe that's why I like you.
Well, yeah, because you're interesting.
Yeah.
But my toddler has the same mentality, that I am the center of the universe and everyone must accommodate my needs. And then you develop into an adult and you realize the world does not revolve around you. This is toddler-esque behavior.
But we can't have a world that revolves around each individual.
No, but we can. You have to define everybody's individual needs all the time. And then eventually we all become so catering to each other's needs, and that's how we're going to move forward. You don't fucking get that? God, that's the woo.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Can I tell you? I think I told you about the hyper-inclusive kindergarten book.
My kid had.
And I was like, I can't do it, man. That's not how the world is. Now, there's not like a kid with vitiligo and a kid with missing an arm and a kid on crutches and a kid, with a hijab in every class. It's not going to happen this way. It's nutty.
It's all good.
It is. Yeah, obviously, But you're like, this is not real life. This is not real life. I don't know, dude. It tickles my asshole too.
I have another question. And, and this is a legitimate question. This is a really legitimate question.
Why does everyone hate the Jews?
There's that. We have to wait for Nadav for that one. He's been away for a while. But is there a screen? If people watch public discourse and presentation by mayors and governors on screens, correct?
Uh-huh.
They're not in person. They're on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people have screens in their home to watch these things. Is there a screen in the state of California that does not have closed caption on it?
Right, right, right.
Why do we have to have the signers there every time? is there a screen?
That's true. That's true. And is there such a deaf population in the audience present?
Even if there is.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a screen now in the state of California without closed caption on it?
I know.
I just every time I see it, I think,
you're like, why is that person?
Why are they doing that? We just don't, why are they spending that money is sort of what I think to myself.
Don't you dare. But now you're not including the one person.
No. I want to be inclusive. Find the person that doesn't have closed caption on their screen. Is there somebody with a Sony Trinitron or something that is watching that?
I don't know.
That's the part the insanity of that.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. It's not real. It's just signaling again.
Yeah.
Because if I'm deaf, I'm very sympathetic to deaf people. I've got closed caption. And I'm a sign language person. I'm going to know that. And I want people in my life to sign. And if I'm in the auditorium, I definitely want a signer there so I can see what's going on. But if I'm watching a public official on a screen,
right, at this point, it's just a formality. It's silly.
It doesn't even make sense because we have closed caption on every screen, everywhere, all the time.
I know.
Anyway, I've said enough.
Hey, adjust your microphone. I can't see your face. It's bothering
me.
Like, can you flip it so that, see how mine is?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, bro.
Jeez.
There you go. There's the money maker. There's the money maker.
All right. Let's see N-word anthem. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
No, that's the next one you're going to.
Do we have to?
Periodically, I have to remove all evidence of the N-word on my channel and shut down videos that collect over 100 views, because that's very dangerous for me. And yet, I do think this content should be put out there, because I feel like this helps us as a community, as a world, to deal with some of the pain that has come from racism and the racist N-word. So without further ado,
uh-oh.
I am an N-word. I am an F-word too. I am an N-word, F-word, TARDIS, C-word, and I'm coming for you.
There's
so
your music.
You're not lonely.
There's your musical song. This is the opener.
We all are N-words.
If you covered this.
We're all N-word, F-word, TARDIS, C-word.
F-word, N-word,
and the makeup,
C-word.
I have to be made up like this guy. I have to have some makeup with Sat on the head.
I would pay much money to see you do this song.
You are an N-word.
There you go, Drew. Cover it.
It's not an insult. Let it catapult you to better things.
Oh.
And if you can, join me next time and sing.
Everybody dance.
N-word anthem because it rings. Freedom bell.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you.
I want to say go to hell. It rhymes with freedom bell. Have a good day.
It's the new Hamlet. This is going to be the new Hamilton. This is it.
I would love you to cover all these jams.
But we need to get we'll weave it in, but we need a narrative to go with it.
I went to the doctor, which had acupuncture no more. There's all these songs. RPC songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did
coming
he sing?
Up. You know what you could do?
Coming
you know
up
his
May?
Whole monologue of like, check it out, man. Try it out. I want
to
go. I'm looking for black guys.
Put it to music.
Black guys. Who likes to fucking look good, hard, and mean it, man. I'm serious. 2395, apartment C. You could do the whole thing.
No, I have to have him sing it. It has to be him. Yeah.
And he's a performer.
I know.
Huh. Now I'm really, hold on, like a YMH musical tribute to all the lunatics we've had on the show would be pretty massively fun. I'm excited. I'm fired up, dude.
It sounds.
2022.
It sounds monumental.
I know,
but
people are freaks.
But it's a hit.
Okay.
It's a definite hit.
Okay.
And as you know, I'll pee my diaper for you. I'll do everything for you, Christina P.
You
and
did so, not pee your diaper.
And so I'm easily persuaded to do stuff for you. So.
Just cover one song. Let's just start with like the, maybe not the N-word song.
Yeah.
Because you do have to practice medicine.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have to walk in public.
Maybe the Acupuncture No More song.
I don't remember that song.
Well, we'll find it. We'll show it to you.
Walker Karen.
Acupuncture no more. Acupuncture.
What was the intent of that song?
Yeah, you're a fucking psycho. You're standing here instead of going around. I'm in a walker and I'm going the right way.
That way to get some baby stuff. Thank you very much.
Go that way and then go down the next fucking aisle. The same as I do with my fucking walker. Do you understand?
She won't let her walk around.
Understand? It's not easy. The arrows go this way.
The arrows go this way.
She's not following proto.
All she has to do is walk back that way.
I'm asking you move.
But she doesn't care. She has to keep on fucking making people sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have to be in front of you.
Okay. She coughs on her.
That wasn't very nice.
Make people sick.
Are you stupid?
Make people sick?
Are you stupid?
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You can't fucking follow the fucking rules. I'm in a fucking...
See, this is the part that drives me crazy. Is your intent to help people stay well or just to be a fuck? Yeah. And so she's willing to cough on people to make them sick to make them follow the rules.
Yeah. People are stressed out.
When did we become this weird nation of rule followers that we're not.
But
we are, though.
Well, because it's like reality shows. You've worked on enough to know when you put people in a house, you take away their lives, you take away everything, you start to go a little crazy. That becomes your world. Pandy has taken away so much from so many people.
Yeah.
The rules become the one thing you can I wear my mask. Are you wearing yours?
It becomes your identity. It becomes your meaning in the world.
Are you on the Nextdoor app? So you can see, on the Nextdoor app, your neighbors can chime in on what their concerns are. My neighbors are insane about, I saw somebody not wearing a mask on the corner of blah, blah, blah. Like, dude.
Are you problematic? Are you and Tom problematic?
No.
Have you heard people? The problematic is this word now. That means they're coming for you.
I know.
It means cancel next. You're problematic.
I know. Hey, that guy got canceled who was wanting to eat people. Army.
He sure did.
Army.
Yeah, did you and I watch that?
We covered it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for that guy.
Same. I'm not sure that one was warranted. Like, so what if he's got sexual fantasies?
Or has a problem, whatever. Let's get him.
Get him help.
Get him help.
Don't
and
cancel
let,
him. Yeah.
Like, everybody dropped
has
him.
Has he assaulted someone before? Of course, something will come out that... Zolo, you're up on this shit. Did this guy assault somebody? Has he done anything illegal?
No, well, what people were saying where he got problematic was he would do these intense, fantasies and then not do really, any aftercare, just kind of, disregard women after doing, intense,
Like hurting them?
And
like,
would these women were complaining about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that isn't cool.
If that's accurate, again, we don't know what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
That these women submitted, they consented to these crazy things, and they were sort of angry that there was no follow through, right?
Because isn't that part of that culture is aftercare? It's part of the S&M.
No, I get it. I'm not saying it's okay.
Why I'm clarifying that is.
You would think supposedly it's a way of experiencing intimacy, right? It's a way of getting close with somebody. Then you don't just drop them.
And just beat the shit out of them and kick them to the curb. Well, anyway, that guy's canceled now.
It's very sad. Gave birth 2 years ago. Unlike a lot of women, I didn't tear my perineum. I tore my labia.
Labial tear. That's a freshie.
One side of my labia tore near my clitoris. At the top there.
Oh, fuck.
They stitched it up, but the stitches came out before it healed. So my labia is in two. Flappy two flaps. My question is, how risky would it have to be repaired? I had a lot of discomfort at first, but it's a lot better. At times, part of my labia will turn, and that hurts, so it folds in on itself. Since it's so close to my clitoris, I don't know how risky it would be, and would I end up damaging parts as I get older, currently 33, will it start to hang? Again, men don't care.
Anyway, she cares. If it's causing her discomfort
during
sex, pain.
If it causes discomfort during sex, then yes, you need to get it fixed. And I'm guessing the fix is not a certainty, because it's already fully healed, and, but I bet they could repair it. I bet they could.
Is it worth the risk of trying to repair it is
well,
what I
would
ask.
Well, that's the other thing, is there can be scarring and constricturing and that kind of stuff, stricturing. There is a guy that is a plastic surgeon. There's one guy, he used to have a TV show, his name is Alter, A-L-T-E-R, strangely enough, and he is a plastic surgeon and a urologist.
Okay.
So he's the only board certified I know of in both. There might be other guys out there, but...
So if you trust your vagine to be surgerized on, find the man or the woman that's really reputable. Don't just go to the bargain vagina.
Here is some, I think this may be some education here. I just watched you and Ryan Sickler. I thought that as a resident tranny, I could take the opportunity to illuminate you.
Oh, is this from your, I think he's referring to your episode with Ryan.
Yes, but about what I'm wondering is, did transsexuals call themselves trannies now?
No, well, they can. It's like, yeah, you can
it's
call
like
yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Being attracted to trans women is not gay. We understand that.
Okay.
Gay men are attracted towards individuals for their biological maleness. So a gay man would not be attracted to someone who's actively trying to rid themselves of their maleness. Yeah, but now you're putting gay into one category. Right? Gay can be a spectrum, too, right?
I have stopped following, like, sentences.
This being said, dating pre-op women isn't the straightest thing in the world. Okay. But also a large chunk of trans women don't even want to use their plumbing during sex, let alone have someone else see it.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
So then why?
It was interesting. A man's trans attraction is certainly more straight than it is gay. All right. That's why trans categories on porn site like Pornhub are on the straight side and not the gay side. I think that's true. That the particularly
yeah,
the
straight men love trans,
especially the trans
women,
and there is a subset of straight men that like non-surgical trans.
You know what I think this is all leading to is just ending these labels and stop the incessant need.
Well,
to,
it has to, right?
Because it's too many. There's so many sub.
Right.
Am I straight? Am I gay? Am I bi? Am I non-bi? Am I da da da? It's like, how about we just.
You accept everybody. And if that's where we get with this, that will have been a positive thing, right?
Yeah, maybe we're going there.
Yeah. But what's interesting about if there isn't male, right? Because,
shit, man.
Hold on. If there isn't male.
Okay, hold on. I got to put up my stupid cap on.
Okay,
go ahead.
If there isn't male, which is some people are trying to make that case, there isn't a female, there's not a male. But if there isn't a male, there isn't gay.
Oh, shit, man. That's so true.
Right?
That's a noodle bender. Therefore,
they can't be gay if there's no.
And therefore, there are no labels. Therefore, we can't. We have to stop all this kind of dialogue of categorizing and subcategorizing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
Shit, man.
Well, there's no biological male or female. You're right.
Well, except all of this. As a biologist, we, as a matter of definition, call males biological entities that produce spermatozoa and females biological entities that produce ova.
But that's societally problematic because there are people who trans women don't produce ovum necessarily, but they present as female.
As a woman, which is fine.
Okay.
Right.
But they're biologically not female.
But that brings people then go, well, what about, we used to call testicular feminization, which is these males that don't respond to testosterone and so appear female, which we all start as female.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd call that a woman. But biologically, not producing ovum, is that a female? When we start splitting hairs for all the variations and the genetic themes,
I know.
It's all just going to be one thing, like you said.
I hope so. We're all going to morph into one race and one
I think the one race thing is kind of happening.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's...
The globalization has already begun.
Yeah.
And the religions are meshing. You have Muslim people in Christian countries, and you're going to be the future. Whiteys aren't going to exist anymore.
Mm.
It'd be great. We're all going to be...
What about my Czech people?
Don't worry. They're still racist. They'll keep... At least Hungarians, for sure. Hungarians are like, no outsiders. We're going to keep this bloodline...
But it's going to be a small percentage, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Midget Boy.
Oh, okay. I think they're called LPs now, little people.
I'm just reading what's up there.
This is a safe space.
And another thing, I am a boy, not a girl. And another thing, I am not lesbian. No way, I am not.
Oh, so they must have been...
I'm a lovely boy.
He is a lovely boy.
He is a lovely boy.
He is.
I'm a lovely boy.
He is a lovely boy.
He's got great hair.
I like everything about him.
So do I. He's sweet.
Somebody must have said he was a gay female or something. Or
I'm probably. They're like, are you a lesbian? Like on TikTok. And he dignified
When are we
going
to stop
response.
Listening to people on social media?
I don't.
When is that
It's alarming that anybody addresses anybody's asshole comment. Like, why are you addressing it? Just move on.
It really is terrible. Cool guy rapper. Let's see what we got there.
Cool. The cool guy.
Yeah. I'm Thunder Blitz. I'm not your average ordinary rapper. Hell nah. I made this song Thunder Strike because that's going to be my first song. Yeah, first song, brother. No, I am not like 20-something years old. I'm 17.
Yeah. Oh.
That's right.
Shocking.
I'm just a 17-year-old rapper.
Mm.
So I'm one of the youngest rappers to ever be confirmed.
Ooh, confirmed.
Thunder Blitz, yeah.
What does confirmed mean?
The song Thunder Strike is exclusively for me. That's right. They call it Thunder Blitz because, you know, it was originally called Thunder Waffen Blitzkrieg, duh.
Song number two of TikTok the Musical. You have to cover this.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. He's got the cool guy teeth. Look,
he's only 17.
I got cool guy teeth.
Pretty disgusting.
I'm trying to see if he has the cool guy eye or the TikTok
eye. Well, he's got cool guy eye shutting.
Yeah,
that's a whole new lane of cool guy.
That's the king of above 18. Yeah, eyes closed.
Eyes closed.
But his lids are so thick and heavy that he can't open his eyes.
Yeah, he's fat.
But it makes me sad, this one, because it's he's going to be an adult someday. I look back at this, go, oh my god, was I fucked
know,
up?
So glad.
You're so glad
we did not have the internet growing up. I'm so thankful that this none of
I've
this
I've seen
existed.
Pictures. I've seen pictures of you.
Of me? That was 21, Road Rules. And like, that was filtered. That was edited. Thank God. But I'm saying, like, I would have put out stupid shit like that.
Me too.
Oh, God.
Me too.
Is he talked?
And is he what?
What's his IQ?
I don't know. I can't. I could be normal.
No.
It could be because 17-year-old males are just... And back to my Godspell thing.
Oh my God. I
was so lost when I was... part of that cast, you know what I mean? God only knows what might have happened.
I would love to see those videos, and I want to know, how old are you when you were Godspelling?
18.
Oh my God.
I've got to show it to you. Maybe
you were trying to go to college at that point.
I was in college.
Did you know you wanted to be a doctor at that point?
I had just abandoned that.
Oh,
because I spent about a year and a half fucking around doing other things, and I just decided that I was not up for it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my own thing, man.
You're a wildling.
Yeah, I was a wildling. I was.
So good for you. So you took your year, like when the Amish, your Rumspringa, and then you came back to med school.
I did.
And the practical thing.
And when I came back, I was in a hurry because I had to really catch up fast. I had to go a year round of school and stuff like that. And I really took it very, very seriously. But what was interesting is I was ready by then. It's like my brain wasn't ready.
No, you're too young.
Emotionally or intellectually even. And all of a sudden I could do things that before were like, oh,
yeah,
couldn't do it.
You could sit still. Now, how was your MCAT?
Good.
Yeah. First time? When it done?
Yeah.
How old were you? I did not
expect to get into medical school first time because I'd started...
That's what I'm asking.
I started late and I was on full, you know, I actually was all set up to go do research at UCLA, but then I got in. So off I went. And I was so happy. Oh my God, that was so good. Anyway, look at the stupidness.
Oh, you guys are doing they're doing pyramids on the grass, on the quad.
Crazy.
Just happy to be alive.
Right?
That whimsical joy that just comes from being young.
18. Yeah.
I see it in my 2 and my 5-year-old. They're just bursting with joy. They wake up and they're like excited for everything. You know,
we got to capture that with the Rash Revolution.
Oh,
somehow.
Yeah. Sometimes we can. Like sometimes I feel like we do at YMH. There's been moments where like the first time we talked to Robert Paul Champagne.
Yes, that was pretty.
We were just like the whole world shook. Like, oh my fucking God. I think we get that at YMH.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, it was so silly and fun.
Let's hear another voice message. Yes.
Personal point, Christina. It's Matt, and I have a real, real simple question for you.
what the fuck can I do to not bleed every single time someone fucks me in the ass? I'm really just trying to live a nice, normal life, like enjoy all my gay rights.
Who is it?
And like, I've got the COVID vaccine. Good. I'm out here trying to have sex again.
Good.
And it's been so long, I can't even take a 6-incher without bleeding like a girl on her period. Like, I'm using all the lube in the world. I'm doing everything I've been doing since, like, I don't know, high school when I started fucking. Do you have a word? Like anything.
Yes.
Anything a woman can do. Well, not a woman, but you understand.
Yes.
I love him.
So I love him too. Yeah. So you need to see a proctologist or a gastroenterologist and see what's going on back there, right? There can be there can be fissures and tears and hemorrhoids and all kinds of funky things that can bleed that actually can get quite serious. And if you keep tearing, you'll get stricturing and you will not like that at all, especially trying to have sex back there if you get strictures. Then once you've cleared the pathology, so to speak, then you might want to get some expanders going.
Dilators, right? Dilators. Like when you get trans women get the vagines, you got to dilate your a-hole. And listen, I know men listening, you guys don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor and rule out any kind of stuff that he's talking about. Otherwise, you're never going to butt sex again.
Never do it again, but you actually, you could lose significant amounts of blood. And it's not something you put your finger on and stop the bleeding, right? And number two, again, this is what I think, well, I know men, this will motivate him. It will stricture and tighten and tear, and then you'll never be able to have anal sex again.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Now, I'm not an anal aficionado.
No?
But I never do anal.
Starts at 50, you know.
That's right. Should maybe we have Susan answer this question. I've never actually. But I imagine stretching it out, lubing, and take your time. Are you taking your time? Is he taking his time or is he just ramming, he's so excited getting out of the house?
Sort of indicating a little excitement there.
Yeah.
But again, prepare. Prepare is the...
Prep your asshole.
Yeah.
Get in there. Lube it up. Finger your butthole.
Somebody wanted to set us up to do corporate events. Do you know this? Somebody called
me. You and me?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Is that even possible?
We could do our podcast at a if people are really
hilarious.
Into it.
Hilarious. I would do it.
Yeah.
We could do a corporate.
And they listened to it and they were like, well, I'm not sure.
No, they're not going to want that.
That'd be fun though.
That's why it's after dark. This is the fun version.
This is
the love line you couldn't do. That was originally.
No, we did this love line. This is what happened.
Really?
A lot of
with
this, yeah,
butt less... dilators?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was nothing. We sort of prided ourselves in being willing to take any call,
right?
You know,
because it was a science. It was a doctor show.
Yeah, and so we were not. We were after 10 o'clock at night. So we were in a safe harbor, and I really, much like we helped this gentleman out, we answered real questions. So
okay,
more voice messages, please.
I hope your butt stops bleeding.
I do too.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. Drew and Christina, I'm calling with a question about my fiance. He's a super cool guy. The only problem is that he's super, super clingy. For example, like if I travel for a living, when I'm on the road, I wake up, grab my phone, get on social media, and he'll see that I'm awake, and right away I get the text, the kissy faces and all that. And then when I'm home, it's just kind of like, it's almost like having a 4-year-old. So I was just calling to see how I can gently... nicely talk to him and see how we could come to a level where it's not annoying. Other examples, he's always, in person making kissy faces.
Oh boy.
Tells me I love you every 5 minutes.
Oh.
I know I sound like a bitch.
No,
but
it's okay.
Really annoying. All right.
Are they married already or
boyfriend? Didn't sound like, yeah, sound like boyfriend.
Fiance.
I mean, dude, that sounds to me like a fundamental
problem.
Difference. Yeah. Like one of you.
Christina's vagina just became the Sahara Desert.
And then went inside.
She does not dig the clingy dudes.
Well, you're right. It's not attractive to a woman when the guy is always up your ass. Is it attractive when anybody's up your ass? It's not attractive.
Some people need that.
Oh, so.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that like it and need it. There are.
So?
But most people find it uncomfortable. Yeah. And I don't know, even if you could get him to calm down the behaviors, the feelings are still going to be there. You know what I mean?
The intense needs that he
has. Yeah.
There's
a phenomenon called love avoidant, love addiction cycles, where people go after the love avoidant and and then of course they disappoint them and then they're shattered and then they go back around and it's not good.
I know what you can do. Get him a puppy. Get him two puppies, and then he can put all of his attention into the dog. Because people like that are very needy, but once you have, like, a dog...
I don't think it'll do it.
You don't think so?
No. Oh. No, this is a... I wish, how old were you? Did they say how old they were? Anybody hear that?
Mm. No.
This is something that maybe he'll grow out of, but I don't know. I worry about this relationship, don't you?
Yeah, I would say it's a listen, when you're looking at a marriage partner, you have to look at things like temperament, moral background, financial backgrounds, ideas of the world, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to work.
You know what? No, it's not that it's not going to work. It's just, it's in trouble. And so he could get therapy and try to develop secure attachment to the therapist and then translate that back over to the relationship, right? So the sort of the only hope, you're not going to change him, but therapy can if it's like an emotionally focused therapy, attachment-oriented therapy, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Another voice message.
Hey, Drew. My name's Joseph. And I just kind of had a question. My girlfriend, within the past 4 years, she's recently put on quite a bit of weight. Mm-mm. And I feel like it has something to do with overeating and alcohol consumption based on her trauma in her past. I was just
based on what?
If there's anything I can do to possibly help her. I'm fit. Yeah. You know, I train mixed martial arts and things like that.
Oh, damn.
And I just kind of want to know what I can do to help her. It's on me, beat me, and you know I'm coming up in May.
Fit AF. If he's training MMA, holy cow.
Yeah, and you cannot do or say anything, I would argue, but you can get her trauma treated. And if she's walking around untreated trauma, that's a terribly huge mistake. Because that's going to... It's going to affect her whole life. Why do you want her burdened with trauma that can be treated, everybody?
It can be treated.
Oh, my God.
So you're saying he should, A, fat shame her and be like, you're fat and gross and dudes don't want to bang you.
I like the way all the guys in the room, they love that. They think you're
great. No, can I tell you real talk? I was just having this discussion last night with a friend that somebody does need to point out that your appearance is not okay. Somebody does gently need to say to you, when you're fat, someone needs to go, you're fat.
First of all, I'm not sure it's the partner's job to do that.
Maybe a doctor, because my gynae was like, yo, you need to lose like X amount. And I was like, done, bro. I hear you. I respect you. You're a doctor.
Well, it's if people are unhealthy in their weight, it's hard to know who's going to get through. It's hard because as physicians, you often don't get through.
Okay. So
but
he's going to go to her best friend, find out who she listens to, and then you tell that person to fat shame her, and then you swoop in,
shaming.
Be like, you fat fucking bitch.
Oh, Jesus.
Nobody loves you. And then you go, you know how to get better? Therapy. And then he comes in with the therapy idea.
How about just do the therapy idea straight up?
Because that could take years, and then his weenie's going to go down in the meantime.
That's okay. He's committed to her. Listen, even if the weenie goes down and they lose their relationship, at least she'll be able to go out in the world and be healthy.
No, you're right. She needs a lot of... Because that weight is a way of protecting oneself, right? That's what we do.
It can be that. There is such a thing as that, where the big body protects people. And that's the psychoanalytic literature is very full of observations of
that
kind of thing.
That's what my therapist would tell me.
Yeah, and eating to deal with emotional
compulsive eating.
Yeah.
I did that before I had COVID. Now that I don't taste anything, I stop eating compulsively.
It's fine. It's good.
And I have all these feelings that I don't like.
Watching your feelings of those?
What?
What's going on?
Don't like
them. I just exposed myself to a whole bunch of embarrassing stuff. What's going on?
No, I told you in the last episode, I'm sad. I'm just sad mourning. I think I'm mourning. I'm grieving. Don't do that, Dr. Drew face. Don't do the sympathetic Drew face. I know that from fucking celebrity rehab. This is how you get people to cry. Don't do that face to me. The lip pursing. The lip pursing.
It's very familiar to me when people get defensive and don't want me to do it. It worries me when people get that way. I mean, I expect it from my patients. I don't expect it from you. That's all I'm saying. Come on now. Come on.
My parents did not hit me. Only once or twice with a hairbrush. This is what
it's not so bad.
This is what you do on celebrity rehab.
Yes, yes.
The person goes, I'm fine. It's fine. Except I did get beaten every week.
Yes. It doesn't go like that. It goes, did you have any trauma, Graham? No, nothing.
Perfect.
Was there any physical abuse? Absolutely not. Were you disciplined like everybody? How did they do that? Well, they and then you got to go, did they ever pick up an object? Was there an object? What was the object they picked up? One time it was an axe. One time it was a knife. People have done that. Like, yeah, so one time she threw an axe at me. I guess that was the...
I know. That's why this show is the best.
And so not just the show. That's real life stuff. That's out in the, out in the field.
I loved it.
That's the way it is all the time. But I feel sad for you if you're sad.
No, but here's the deal. I'm comfortable with my sadness, and I'm sitting with those dark feelings. And I listen to goth music, and then I get sad, and then it passes. That's what I've learned about feelings, is they pass.
They pass.
That's why I stopped the compulsive eating.
It's passed, but something's bothering you.
Oh, I'm about to get my period any minute.
Ah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Explains a lot.
See?
So, but I don't see the usual joy that I usually see in your eyes.
No, that's dead. What? That's dead can't for be now. Dead. No, I don't know what happened.
It's not dead.
I'm dark. I got to talk to my shrink.
No, I'm just thinking, I wonder if it's something COVID related. Because COVID screwed up my moods and stuff. Yeah, COVID affected the brain, man. It screws up all kinds of stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you cried
on stage.
Yes,
of all places.
That's a sign of depression. And yeah. I'm not meaning like you're really depressed or anything, but it's just this kind of.
Well, I feel like the whole year has been an undercurrent.
I know, but we've been sitting here the whole year, and you've been joyous and free, and now, and now you're.
I feel better this episode. Don't you sense that I was felt better this?
Well,
episode?
I exposed all my Godspell gayness.
It's the fucking best. It's the best.
I knew it would make you happy.
This is like a whole new chapter for you.
It's going to be a musical. What are you talking about?
I can't wait.
Or I'm going to be stunt casted in something because of you guys.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And when are we going to do these corporate events you're talking about?
I don't know. I'll go see if I can get them sold. Anyway, watching your latest episode, hearing you say that sexual desires for men can be locked around age 11 to 14 got me thinking about my bizarre infatuations with girls named Maddie.
Oh.
When I was in sixth grade, I fell madly in love with this girl named Maddie. We dated on and off for about 8 years. She consistently broke my heart. I've gone on to date and hook up with countless girls with various renditions of the name Maddie.
Wow.
Jesus.
I've never heard of that before.
Could not emotionally connect to them, though, and I always thought it was a coincidence, but now I'm not so sure. Do you think my brain is locked into that name? How can I stop myself from this?
Wow.
I just generally believe that, you know, if you can call into consciousness a pattern, you can change it. And if you can't change it, that's when you get therapy. Very simple. So
how
do you date somebody named Kathy? Or Karen or Sue.
Wow. Right? I've never heard of a name fetish, essentially.
With males, it's anything. It's just no telling the variation on the theme. Do we have any more TikToks?
Oh, I love the TikToks.
I know.
We
got so many we got to get to. I've wasted so many hours. Here we go.
This one's just talent. Raw. This could be in your musical.
Yes. See, we have to have cameos of stuff like that that people have to be really on the inside to appreciate.
Okay, now hold on. So it's the black. I just want you to be the star. It's going to be easier if you're the star.
Yeah, but while I'm singing, some guy will walk through and do that. It'll be a homage.
Just on screens behind you.
Oh,
it's him, like multiple screens, and then it comes up, bah, 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 and then the whole audience joins in, and then they go, it could be like a great opener.
Huge fantasy. We all get up and dance. All right, give me another TikTok.
My name's Umbra. I'm the leader of the Shishik. A new tribe. A nomadic people. Home to all who have no home. Who wish to be nomads. Be you 1% blood or 100% blood. Because if you search your heart, you know it's true. All people stem from one people in this land. Who am I? I'm Umbra Inarenakaris. Long lost son, descendant of the children of the wind, the Chichimeca, a nomadic people. And we've all been told to seek our elders, but we have no elders, and to reclaim our wisdom. But how can we reclaim our wisdom? Because a nomad finds his wisdom on the path. And Chichimeca means lineage of the dog. So if you're a mutt.
No, you don't like this?
Chichimeca does not translate to
anything.
Yeah, this is nonsense words.
He's just making this stuff up.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
People like this, though, will find people to follow them.
I know. That's how cults get started.
I know.
This is Koresh.
Right. And I want him to nomad his ass on out of here.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me the creeps a little bit.
What's going on with the hollowed cheeks? He's no facial fat.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Maybe he is a nomad and not eating and living out in the desert somewhere.
That's just skinniness?
Yes, I think so.
Not drogas?
No, I don't think so.
I do like his cool ass facial tats though, because I like that they're
white.
Wait,
I don't see him.
Oh yeah, dude, look under his eyes. He's got white. That's white ink. And then across his nose, the bridge of his nose, he's got like three stripes.
Oh yeah.
That's dope. I mean, that looks cool.
Are these Native American sorts of things?
I think it's called Indigenous people now.
Indigenous people? I beg your pardon.
So
I beg your pardon.
I'm so offensive. God.
Okay. The them they.
Do better.
Okay. I'm problematic. I'm problematic.
I don't know.
I like the way the nomenclature has changed fast enough that you fuck up. You can't get it right.
That's the point. Yeah. That's the trap, yeah, right? It changes perpetually, so it sets you up.
Yeah.
What about your, are you Latina? Are you Latinx?
Yeah.
I'm Latinx.
Also, if you're able to keep up with the nomenclature, it signals that you're cool.
That's right.
You're not problematic.
Cool and moral. I would argue even it's a morality issue.
Yes.
It's not just a cool issue.
It's moral to keep up with the language.
Which is scary. That's scary when you're immoral because I don't know Latinx. Or just be that I'm a fucking mom of two small children and I don't give a fuck about the world.
Even
right
if you
now.
Did give a fuck, you're too busy taking care of infants.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I got other priorities.
Give me another talk if we got one. That one, I need to cleanse my palate with that, after that one.
I'm on the
In the name of Odin, Thor, Tyr, and the rest of the Norse gods, I
Go
present this Mjolnir to my son.
Yes.
May he follow the path.
What is this?
So.
North Scots?
Yeah, this guy is so rad. So he gave his son a Norsk medallion. He's into Norsk gods, like
Norsk?
Odin. You know, like Odin. Like Odin.
No.
Is a Norsk god.
Norsk?
Uh-huh.
This is like a Nordic. Viking or something?
Yeah, like Viking nonsense. And for some reason, this man is really into that culture. And so he gives his son necklaces. Norse. Sorry, I thought it was a K. Norse, Norsk. Oh, you know why? My friend's from Norway and they say Norsk. Sorry.
Norse.
In Norwegian, it's Norsk. Norse. Norwegian. Sorry.
And
anyways,
does
they're
it give
just
him
nerds.
Any superpowers or anything? Or
yeah, I'd hope so with their
good.
New medallion.
Oh my God!
I want a cool medallion.
I think in the day of the Vikings TV show and Game of Thrones and stuff, and this stuff has currency.
Isn't that fascinating that the culture influences people's behavior? For instance, when the taco.
We are the only animal that does that.
Is that right?
Like this, yeah, with a real.
It's tangible. For
the only thing that creates complex culture and then is affected
sway.
By that culture. Yeah.
Well, like the Taco Bell Chihuahua. Remember, the Chihuahuas were getting crazy. Everybody had
101 Dalmatians.
And then everyone runs out and buys the dumb Dalmatian.
Mm-hmm.
It's just silly.
We are silly.
Is it just because that's what we see? We see it and we're like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And then we do it?
Yeah. I mean, we're highly influenced by media and everything else, right? Who knows what we're influencing people to do?
Oh, shit.
God help us. Or them.
Butt fuck. And pee in diapers.
Anal dilators.
And, yeah.
it's all right. We'll be at a corporate event soon. Ooh,
hey, guys. Do you want us to go to your corporate
we
event?
We can calm it down a little bit if you want us to.
Oh, God.
And Christina's depressed now. We're trying to make her happy.
Which trying to come back, guys.
Normally, she's more joyous and happy.
How dare you? Yeah.
So... But when you really, I mean, obviously there are whole fields of anthropology about, you know, cultural anthropology and how it affects. Yeah. What I find here, okay, here's my thing though.
Go ahead.
Which is we do too much of going, let's just take the Aztecs. Well, in order for the sun to come up every day, they had to kill a guy and throw his heart down onto the stairs. I mean, that's just what they believe. Why did they believe that?
Mm.
Why do humans do stuff like that? What is it about our brain that has us do these things with these beliefs?
Mm.
That's the part we don't ask enough.
Why?
Not just, it's the culture influencing them. Now, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
What is it about the human and the human biology and the human brain and the human psyche that this is where we go?
Mm.
And this is where we create. Why?
Mm.
Not, it's just the culture. No, there's a reason we create
right,
some of the stuff we create.
It's rarely random.
It's rarely
random.
Well,
especially because don't you find dismissing that as cultural relativism is to go like, that's what those primitive assholes did versus like, those are just humans.
Those are other humans that had a belief system that came from some dude, some woman, some whatever.
Something.
Where they were thinking this was something motivated them. I mean, it was not just... You know, something we can't understand or something random, right?
Yeah, there were other people
doing
this.
There was stuff
doing
things. You know, why did they create the certain colors they did on their costumes and stuff? Probably somebody liked it. Why did they like it? Because, there's reasons for these things. And so there's, I'm sure, some randomness in it, to be fair, right? I mean, you know.
That's so interesting because during when the beginning of the Pandy, you know, you look at the pictures of people during the Spanish flu. And I remember the first time I saw pictures of people strolling in the streets. And I thought to myself, these people are insane. There was a pandemic going on. And here we are strolling in the streets in the middle of a pandy. And you're like, oh, we're not so different than history. It's
we're never different. We're never different.
No.
We just have cell phones or cars or other things that we sort of are influenced by. But the fundamental human stuff is still.
Yeah. So why did they sacrifice people's hearts?
One of the theories is that they had this thing called the Codex on how to raise children. As I understand, and this is this is Rational Evolution. I'm not co-opting anybody's culture, but in that Codex, as I've read it and seen it, they were explicit about how to torture and physically abuse children, including holding them over fires and things. And that's what happened to them when they were kids.
Right.
And what was the goal of raising children? Create violent warriors.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And the Aztecs were these incredible violent warriors who acted out violence all the time. And one of the theories about groups of people that have violence in their, are tending towards violence is they will start killing each other unless you can focus that aggression outside at an enemy, which they did lots of that. And it's some guy we're going to kill every day. Every day we'll focus our violence at this one thing and feel good about it and have a catharsis, and we'll unify around that catharsis and not kill each other today.
Mm, that's fascinating.
It's interesting, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, also because the human need for violence, the human need for punishment, I think that's also part of the moral side of, are you wearing your mask? Are you following the rules? Humans need to punish.
Well, they need, there's this weird thing, which of course we need people to behave within the group to make the group function, right?
Yeah.
But we've gotten, because of the narcissistic turn of the last 30 years, we've gotten extremely sort of aggressive and envious, and envy's afoot all the time, and entitlement, and envy is an emotion.
Envy's huge now in the culture. Yeah,
and envy is where you have to tear somebody down to your size.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
You can't be jealous and go, I like what they have. I'm going to work hard to have what they have. Damn, yeah. I'm mad that they have it. It's, oh no, do you have it? Fuck you, I'm tearing you down.
Yes,
that's envy, 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 and that's cancel culture.
Yeah, it's replaced the scaffold. So what we need to do is just bring back public execution, and that will really quench the thirst.
Well,
for human it would
take down the cancel stuff and focus it on real violence.
Great idea. I have this idea. It's on The Degenerates. I talk about how we got to round up pedophiles, put them in Dodger Stadium, and then we cut their dicks and balls off and put them in a barrel and we stomp on them like grapes, like Lucy did, and everybody's happy. And it's like, it's a win-win.
Well, it's interesting that you're tuning into something that we sort of need right now. I mean,
I'm the leader.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you think about it, but there's all this aggression flying around. We need to do something with it.
Football is a good sublimation.
Football is a great way to do it. Sports and things like that, do it. Common enemy, I guess, but it's dangerous. Yeah.
Historically, war is a pretty great way to sublimate, right?
You know, that's no longer sublimation.
Right, that's direct. Never mind.
Yeah, so, it's bad, right? You just think we're into phases like Revolutionary France, where we start killing each other. You know, that's sort of what happens. That's what they did, right? But we're doing it in social media. We're doing it virtually.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Humans don't change.
I wanted to write a chapter in my narcissism book about pre-revolutionary France, and because I kept saying I've never seen a period like this with so much child abuse and narcissism that didn't, there's a period there. Here's what happened in 1790,
Well, I think too that the individualism that, like, remember the what was that, the point of privilege video? There is something to be said of the family structure. And I know people are now, fucking oppression, mirror. Okay, whatever. Yeah. The point is, the fact that I focus on my home, my children, my husband, my little thing, keeps me really healthy and grounded and focused. And there's something intrinsically positive and valuable about taking care of other people. And not selfishly me, individual.
Right. And people have lost track of building a family.
Right.
You're a family unit that builds and expands and has other, and it stays together and takes care of each other. And there's something very powerful about that. I mean, not everyone has to do it, but it's always been around and it serves a pretty heavy function. When you're in one, you sort of get it.
Yeah.
And especially if you want, and if you're able to maintain it long enough, there can be grandkids and you take care of them. And it's sort of this life and family that gets built. rather than
but
just
in America,
me.
The United States is tougher because you have people that are first generation like me and they don't have grandparents, they don't mm-hmm. have relatives. Mm-hmm. I think that's also part of the loss
yeah,
of
true.
This country. Mm-hmm. You look at Latin people and they really orient themselves.
Here it is. This is why you like the Latin.
I love this because
this
I love this
it.
Idea of like, well,
extended
why do you
family.
Yeah, why do you live here? Well, because I have an uncle down the street and my brother's yep. here and my uncle and da-da-da, my dad and da-da, my mom. And that's how they orient themselves is through family.
Explains,
I love that
explains
shit.
Explains a lot.
I
we
like
come,
that.
We come upon something.
Yes.
That's good.
Well, that's nice.
All right. We've learned today that Christina likes Latin culture because of the extended family commitment.
Well, I'll
tell you, and you learned how gay I was. Yeah. Or am. Gayest man, gayest straight guy in America.
TikTok the musical is coming
TikTok
next.
TikTok the musical is coming. Please, I will take, if anybody wants to submit some songs or...
I think so. If someone can write the musical with Drew, like, and I want a legit person, don't.
Or just stunt cast me in something else. We'll TikTok
stunt
the hell
cast
out of
him
that.
In Chicago.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
the attorney. Is right. that what you want to be?
No, somebody actually suggested that to me.
Perfect.
So it seems like that would work. It'd be pretty easy.
Okay. Yeah. And then you're going to do your off Broadway TikTok the musical.
Oh, that's going to be on Broadway. It's going to be a hit. Are you kidding? If that they could do Book
be.
Of Mormon. We can do this.
And you have to
have
learn.
You seen the Book of Mormon?
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. No.
You would love it, actually.
I would not love it.
Yes, I promise you.
What's
you would.
The music in that? Is it rap or is it regular?
It's about getting over a group, a culture that thinks they can get over AIDS by fucking a frog.
Mm, okay.
And one of the songs is all about that.
He fucked a frog.
Yeah. Yes, it kind of goes like that. And a guy comes out and fucks a frog.
Jebediah fucked a frog.
And the other, one of the lead beginning songs is Fuck You God.
Oh, wow.
So I thought you might like it.
Is it Nietzsche? Is there Nietzsche in there? They should do a Nietzsche play.
Nah, it's
so boring, dark, yeah. dark.
No, it's Hasidiga Jibawa. And they go, what's it? They're singing Hasidiga Jibawa. And the Mormons go, what does it mean? He goes, Jibawa is God, and Hasidiga is fuck you. Fuck you, God. So this is the Book of Mormon.
Wow.
So, yes, yeah, I thought you'd like
very
it.
Very powerful.
I knew you'd like
I'm
it.
I'm into the witchcraft one. I'll see that one. The witches, the wicked.
Well, that's a musical, right? Now you're back with me again.
Well,
okay, we'll go.
Okay, I'll do
when
that.
When we're on Broadway,
I'll see Wicked.
We'll go see stuff when we're...
Okay.
When we're
okay.
Okay.
Do your fingers. Don't you do that shit in theater? Dude, your God's... Oh, my God.
All right, everybody. It's been quite a show. And send your emails. Send your... Go get the merch at store.ymhstudios.com. Emails, drfdark@gmail.com. Voice messages, 818-253-1693. And send the songs to 818-253-1693. And submit the lyrics at the email site. And Christine will be culling them all together and reviewing them. And
you think I'm qualified for that?
You're going to produce and direct this thing. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, my God. I didn't sign up for... I have no talent that way.
We've heard you tonight. We know.
All right.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.